Well, what a joy to share the Word of God with you. I'm going to ask if you would direct your attention with me to the book of Jonah. I was here last month, a month before last June 12th, and we started looking at a portion of Scripture in the book of Jonah. We kind of gave a cursory glance over all four chapters. And I want to just catch us up from where we were then to where we are now, because this is part two in a series looking at Jonah and answering this question: do you care enough that when God confronts you, you're ready to respond to Him? But not only that, the message today is going to be when God calls your name. When God calls your name. When He calls your name, what kind of an answer will you give to Him? When He calls your name, will you be ready to respond to what He says to you, what He says and what He shares? Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Speak to our hearts now very clearly, very powerfully, very personally, very matter-of-factly. Draw us to You and what You have for us this morning. Gracious Spirit, quicken our hearts. Whatever luggage is on the inside of us that doesn't belong, that has impeded what You want to accomplish for us and through us, address that as only You can. Bind the strong one, loosen Your Word in power and authority, in conviction and in certainty. So do we leave this place addressing every concern that You may bring to the forefront and everything that's essential in our lives where we need to make adjustments. Bless us now as only You can is our prayer, as we look to You and give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we looked at the book of Jonah, four thoughts were given as we looked at the outline of this book, and I want to give that to you. I want you to know this, that at the end of this series, you're going to get the notes. If you choose to take notes now, that's fine. But what I want you to do is really zero in on what God may be saying to you in this moment. Because as we look at the life of Jonah, one thing stands out very clearly is that Jonah heard the word of God. He had received it all of his life from his father, whose very name indicates that he was one who housed the truth of God. In other words, he embraced it. We're going to focus on that in just a few moments. But think about this. Jonah, as a prophet, as a spokesman of God, had a unique opportunity to make a big difference in the lives of people all around him. And not only that, but people who were detached from God spiritually, that God wanted to attach to him functionally and spiritually, who were diverse. Jonah had no doubt in his heart that God was sending him to accomplish a great work, but Jonah did not want to have any part in that. So he made a decision to go the opposite direction of the call of God. I want to ask you this question. Maybe God has called you into something or connected you with someone that He wants to communicate His own purpose and priorities in. And maybe at this moment, or maybe at a moment previously, and it's lingered over to this moment, you've made a decision to go in the opposite direction. This is where Jonah was. And as we look at Jonah in this particular book, it brings to the forefront some things that we may need to address in our own lives and our own walk with God. And so as we look at Jonah chapter 1, look at what the Word of God says there. It says, the Word of the Lord. Now notice this as we immediately look at the first phrase, the Word of the Lord. This wasn't simply a word that Jonah had received that Jonah is now attaching insight and saying that this is from the Lord. It actually means in the Hebrew that this was verbiage that issued out from God's mouth. And so Jonah has received a specific command, a specific requirement that was in his ear that was given from God. And so as we read the Word of God, I want you to understand this, that when the Word of God is read and when the Word of God is preached and it's enunciated to you, it's elaborated, and it is exegeted, that is the truth drawn out, that is not simply the word of a man, that is the Word of God. Here was Jonah's God's mouthpiece. The word of God came to Jonah, but Jonah was not at a place in his heart where the word of God made a difference. And think about this. Here is Jonah as a mouthpiece of God. He was God's spokesman. In other words, he was the daysman, the go-betweener between God and the people that needed to hear from God in order to have the word of God for themselves. Jonah was that man in the gap. And yet, here's the problem. He had heard it, Maybe he had been hidden it, but Jonah failed to heed it. Question, how many of us in this congregation today, we've heard it, we've hidden it, but we failed to heed it? That's where Jonah was. And so as we begin to look at the book of Jonah, it says very clearly, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Back up just a moment. Look at the words, arise. Here's what is called in the Hebrew verbal or a Hindiades verbal connection. In other words, what happens here is this. There are two active verbs that are supplied, arise and go. The one is canceled out. Arise is canceled out by the following. In other words, it serves like an adverb to strengthen the edict. And here's what he is saying, do. Get on with it. God is saying to Jonah, and he's saying to us, get on with it. In other words, there are people who need to hear and heed and hide what God is saying. Jonah, get on with it. Let me ask you this question. When God gives you a word, what do you do? Do you ruminate over it? Do you just think about it? Do you evaluate it? Do you equate whether or not it's something you ought to listen to, something you ought to embrace? In other words, do you get there and you dissect it, wondering whether or not you need to do it, or do you engage? In other words, do you get on with it? See, God said to Jonah, get on with my word. He wanted Jonah to take the word that he heard and employ that word in carrying a message to a people group that was outside of the fold of a relationship with God that needed this word, and there was Jonah evaluating it. Let me ask you this. Do you find yourself evaluating God's word rather than embracing it? And so as we look at this portion of Scripture, here's the thought that we found the first time we looked at this. Here was Jonah's reluctance or Jonah's reversal. God told him to go and take the word, and here's what Jonah did. Jonah turned and ran with the word from the purposes of God. Where are you today? As you think about your life and God has given you a word, think about it. You're in One Heart Church, and Sunday after Sunday, the word of God is being communicated to you, and it's being communicated effectual from the standpoint of the pulpit as well as from the classroom. You're getting it. Maybe if you're not a part of this church, and you should be, maybe if you're part of another church and you're getting the word of God communicated to you, ask yourself this question. Do I simply indulge and engage the word, but don't embrace it and give it life inside of me? You see, here was Jonah. Jonah heard it, but he didn't heed it. He hid it, but he didn't walk with it. Jonah took the word and he ran. And so we find in the first, we looked at in this first chapter, and it breaks down very simply, Jonah's reversal. You see, in chapter 2, something happened. At the end of chapter 1, God commanded a fish. In a whole equation, Jonah ran to Joppa, a port city, to catch a ship going to Tarshish, a distant city. And then the way God created, as the word of God says, he created a typhoon, or what you would call a hurricane, or a tornado, or water spout on sea. You take your pick. In other words, it was a very difficult sea experience that God created himself in order to get Jonah back to where Jonah should be. Question, are you going through a created scenario by God now to get you to where you need to be? See, a lot of the turmoil that we find ourselves engaged in today in life has nothing to do with just circumstances beyond our control. Yes, they are. But maybe some of the things that we're going through today have an awful lot to do with the fact that God is calling your name. That he is zeroing in on you where you aren't and where you should be. Drawing you away from where you're going and what you think you ought to be doing into the arena of where he wants you to be. So some of the turbulence, some of the difficulty, some of the hardship has nothing to do with things just not working out. It may be that God is working things in through the catastrophes that he is allowing momentarily to seize your life. And so as we look at what happened in chapter 1 and we go to chapter 2, there was a breakthrough. Jonah cried to the Lord from the belly of the fish, and this is a fish that God commanded to come and gobble Jonah up when he was tossed overboard. having tried to run from the presence of God. And as you look at that chapter, it breaks down. Jonah repented. He cried to the Lord in all of his distress, out of the discomfort he was feeling. Pause for station identification. How many of you right now are getting right or have gotten right with God based on your personal experience of discomfort? You've done your own thing, gone your own way, called your own shots, and then it fell apart, and what you did in the interim is superficially gotten things right with God. Not seriously. You're just tired of being in the fix you're in. You're in a pickle and you want out. The jar has closed its lid on you, and you want someone to release you. Well, that's where Jonah was. He said, I cry to you by reason of my anguish. And yet the scripture says this, and you heard me. You know, here's what God will do. When we're superficially inclined toward him, he was spiritually and supernaturally inclined to us. He's looking for the opening to get at your heart that may be closed. And so as you look at this portion of scripture, we find Jonah's repentance. First chapter, Jonah's reluctance or reversal, he ran from God. You look at the second chapter, Jonah's repentance, he returns to God. Now, he doesn't return all the way with all of his heart, but yet he still turns in God's direction. Here's something that's very pivotal and important. When you turn in God's direction, that's the first step toward getting to where he wants you to be. Now, if you're not altogether there, face this one reality. Jonah, as the book closes, never got entirely right with God. He moved in God's direction, but he never did end up isolating himself to God's purposes. He still, as you see chapter 4 closes in the end of the book, is a disgruntled, disconnected servant of God. And the issue is this. Where are you at this moment in your relating to God and to his call? First chapter shows us Jonah's reversal. Rather than going in God's direction, he walked away. The second chapter shows that he haphazardly or lightly stepped in God's direction. He returns, but how much of a return was it? The third chapter, and we looked at this the last time. This is simply a catch-up in order to go forward. We find Jonah's recommissioning. God calls him, the same thing he said in chapter 1. Look at chapter 3 with me, if you please, and here's what he says. It says, now the word of the Lord came, verse 1, to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go. There's that same combo, that same verbal combo, again, given to him that was given to him in the first chapter. In other words, don't miss this. God's urgency had not lost its place in his calling. What God said the first time, he underscored the second time. What I gave you initially, that's the same urgency I want you to take right now. In other words, there are people who are hurting and who need the word of God. God does not diminish the power of what you're to take by your delay in pursuing what he wants you to get. So as you look at this portion of scripture, notice what it says. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. And remember, great does not have to do with the size of the city. It does not have to do with the number of people in the city. It has to do with the importance of the city when it comes to its logistics and its place in the entire kingdom setting. You think about it. Here was a nation. It was at the center of all the empires of the world. Its influence, its affluence was greater than any other city. All of the kings of power and all of the kings of influence came from Nineveh. These wicked people that Jonah dreaded and that he hated, that he had learned to detest, were the people that God had said, Jonah, I want you to take a message to them. And so here was Jonah, the prophet of God, being recommissioned by God to take a word to that people. And then fourthly, we looked at the last time, Jonah's relapse. He goes and he takes the word, and God does a great thing. You would think that when God does a great thing, people would be excited. You would think that the servant of God who would get such a monumental deliverance would be humbled and see God in a great and mighty way. But not Jonah. It was Jonah's heart. God had not done what Jonah thought God should have done. As on the inside, Jonah grieved that God had not come through to destroy the people, not deliver them. The last thing Jonah wanted to have happen was to have people delivered who had been so wicked and so demonstrous toward people of other nations. They would just murder innocent children and kids. Women would have their babies ripped out of them. And Jonah grieved over that. The last thing Jonah wanted to see was God deliver this people. So as we look at these four chapters, they give us a summary of where Jonah was and where Jonah wasn't. And I want us to zero in today when God calls. See, God didn't just call Jonah to go and take a message to just the people who didn't have any kind of connection to what God wanted to do. There were two calls given in this context. The first call was to Jonah. Jonah was going to be the conduit between Nineveh getting what God wanted them to have and to hear and to walk with. See, it works like this. Ask yourself this. As a conduit, right now, wherever God has placed you, whatever relationship you have a responsibility in the economy of God, in God's kingdom, in His plan, in His purposes, to make sure that God carries forth His word through you. Ask yourself this today. God has called me wherever I am, and I need to address this one thought. Am I properly engaging God's call upon my life? Am I properly engaging that call in such a way that when I go to another audience, that audience will not miss Him? Well, Jonah had to have gotten to a place in his life that got him disconnected with God. How does a person get disconnected from God's call? How does a person get disconnected from being useful and genuinely effective? I want to look at that today as we look at answering this thought. When God calls your name, are you ready to answer? Jonah tripped and stumbled because of three things I'm going to share with you. The next time we deal with this subject, we'll look at the latter four. But I want you to think about this as we look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and once again. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, arise, go. But it also says this, but Jonah arose, same word, to flee. In other words, Jonah did a counteraction to the action of God. God said, get up and go. In other words, take the word and go. But Jonah did this. He took the word and he ran. Here's the thought. Jonah was irresponsive to the word of God. Ask yourself this. You've heard it over and over again. You've even written it down in your Bibles. You've carried it home and talked about it with your family or among your peers. You've got it documented. It's written down, every note. But ask yourself this, how responsive am I to what I've heard? Jonah received the word of the Lord, and yet he was irresponsive when it came to really allowing what he heard to register in his experience and in the practicum of daily function. It's one thing to get the word by hearing. It is another thing by function to allow the word to become an instrument of your doing. So the question is this. Here's where Jonah was. He was irresponsive to the word of God. How much of what you've heard has actually registered? How much of what you have seen has actually become a point of identity, a point of viability, something that's visible in the sight of others? Jonah was irresponsive to the word of God. Ask yourself this, how responsive am I to what has been apportioned to me? Think about this. There are people all around the world in various nations, in the Sudan, in South Africa, in East Europe, in Asia, in Argentina, in Chile, in Brazil, in all of these different regions who've not heard the word of God. They've not had the opportunities that you enjoy week after week, Sunday after Sunday. They haven't heard. They have not been vitally connected. And you have. You know what? In judgment, their absence from the word is going to be a point of reckoning with you having heard it. So today, ask yourself, where are you? Where am I? When it comes to responsiveness to the word of God, do you give yourself an A or an F? Failure. Or are you somewhere between necessitating growth from where you've been to where you need to be? Jonah was irresponsive to the word of God. When God called him, he was more responsive to what he wanted God to be and do than what God was saying was going to be done. Notice, secondly, God said to him, go to Nineveh and cry against it and speak the words that I will give to you. Nineveh, yet 40 days and you will be destroyed. You know what the text goes on to say? From the least to the greatest, and from the greatest to the least, they all repented. They humbled themselves and disconnected themselves from everything that mattered to them, even food and water. And they pursued God. Pause. Pause. Today, how much do you disconnect yourself from to connect with God's word? As you think about this, here was God calling Jonah because he was going to do something awesome in Nineveh. You know, one thing Brother Chester will tell you this and Brother Larry will tell you this, we live to see God do something awesome. We long to see him do things in people's lives individually as well as in a church corporately. In other words, there are times when we say, God, oh, I just wish you would bless. Lord, I've seen a person's life just fall apart and been shattered, and just been blown to smithereens. They're completely obliterated. They have no idea, no clue as to where it is. But God, we long to see you do something awesome. And I know people have prayed like that. I know somebody prayed like that for me. And here was Jonah with a unique opportunity to see God do something great in Nineveh. And Jonah was stuck on what he thought God should be doing. Are you stuck on trying to get God to do what he isn't doing and what you want him to do? Here's what Jonah was. Jonah was insensitive, secondly, to the work God was already doing. He was irresponsive to his word. He's now insensitive to God's work. Where are you? God is doing something that you ask him to do. Now, maybe here's the way God works. You ask God to do something one way, and God does it what? The other way. I've had people say, Brother Ron, would you pray for me that my husband will get right with God? And I've had husbands pray for me, Lord, Ron, ask the Lord to help my kids get right. I've had people say, Lord, Ron, would you ask the Lord to help my boss get right? I've had people say, would you help to get my students right or my teachers right or my employees right? In other words, I've had people come to me and ask all kinds of things, and they've asked for all kinds of prayers. But here's the problem. When God begins the work, he begins to work differently than the way in which people really wanted him to work. And people get dull to the way in which God actually does his work. Jonah no doubt had prayed for God to work in Nineveh, but he wanted a different end. God was looking to move them into relationship. Jonah wanted God to move them into judgment and condemnation. Sometimes God will not work the way you want him to. And he will answer your prayers his way. See, for Jonah, here was his problem. And maybe for some of you here, this is your problem. You're insensitive to the work that God is doing. You have disconnected yourself from the way in which God has demonstrated that he's moving. Question today for all of us to evaluate and to sift through on the inside of our hearts. Am I stubbornly resistant to the way in which God has worked in my life, so much so that I am now completely dull and numb to what he's doing and more inclined to get him to do and become what I have visioned he ought to be and do. See, for most of us, when it comes to God, we have on the inside of us, in one degree or another, a little bit of Jonah. We have what I call Jonahism. We are stuck on us and our ideas about how God ought to work. Jonah was insensitive to the work of God. Thirdly, and finally, think about this. Here's Jonah. Text says this, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For, here's the reason you're going to cry against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. In other words, everything about all that they have failed to become and all that they've done that has gotten on the wrong side of God, all of that has now reached its crescendo, and God is about to move. You ever seen people around you, and God has shown you their true condition, and you kind of just maybe looked over it and ignored it? And on the inside of you, you know that maybe God is on the threshold of cracking the door into that person's life and breaking through. Maybe here God has given you a glimpse of the condition that's on the inside of you as well as the condition that's on the inside of people. They are numb to God and you've become numb because God hasn't answered the things that you've prayed for the way that you've prayed for them. And so thirdly, here's where Jonah was, and potentially here's where you may be. Jonah was indifferent to the will of God. He was indifferent to the will of God. See, God's will was to take a simple spoken word and address the greatest human need. They needed to have a major spiritual breakthrough from God. They needed to have the walls of their resistance and their indifference and their ignorance to God torn down. And here's the will of God. Not to come in a horrific way initially. He has the freedom to do that later on. All God wanted to do was to address their mama through the spoken word. You know what we like for God to do a lot of times? We have that sick'em God mentality. Is that when folks have been messing around and messing over us, we want God to do what? Say it with me. Sick'em. Go get them, God. There are pains in my side. There are issues greater than me. Sick them. Get them. We want God to become our little bulldog, our Rottweiler. Last thing we want is God to become a Chihuahua. So here's Jonah, indifferent to the will of God. All God said, Jonah, go and do is what? Preach. Do you get the point? We want God to do something horrific, and God wants to do something humbling. He wants to break people and bring them from where they are to where they need to be. See, God is not so caught up with bringing destruction to people's lives. He can do that easily. He can do that. It doesn't take but a spoken word from God to bring people to the utter end of themselves, to complete destruction and disaster. But you know, when God recognizes the absence of his presence, you know, the one thing that he wants to get to them is a spoken word, a word that pierces their hearts, that penetrates them. And so God says, Jonah, he says, go. And see, here's the word that had what I call snap, crackle, and pop to it. Arise, go to Nineveh, cry against it. Here's what he says, say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Doesn't it have snap, crackle, and pop to you? That word's making noise, isn't it? In other words, here's something that should get their attention. It should resonate. And you know what it did? It actually served the purpose. God didn't have to overturn anything. He didn't have to commit any disaster. He did that later on when the generations that followed didn't adhere to what the generations previously had embraced. But see, that was for a time down the road. But at this moment, we find that from the greatest to the least, they all humbled themselves at the spoken word, and they got their act together. There was one huge problem in this. When God called Jonah, he was indifferent. When he called Nineveh, they stood up and became different as a nation. I want to ask this question. With what we've seen as Jonah's pitfall, are you addressing any potential pitfall on the inside of you? See, Jonah had a huge gap in his life. Here was this gap. The gap of having heard it, but not heeding it. The gap of having taken it out, but not looking for design result. Looking for what the prophet can bring to bear. See, it's not what we do with the word. It's what God does through the word that we're privileged to share with those who hear. And there was Jonah, a major dilemma, a major chasm in his walk with God. And yet, here's God not allowing what Jonah wasn't to impede what people needed to get. And so there was Jonah in a very, very pivotal position, irresponsive to the word of God, insensitive to the work of God, indifferent to the will of God. God had called his name, and he answered. But the problem with his answer, which is a problem with a lot of us in churches, is that we are not vitally connected to him in such a functional way that we are where we need to be so that at any given moment when God wants to connect with us, maybe because of the problems in Jonah's life, he can't. Here's what needs to happen today. In the quietness of your own heart, ruminating in your thoughts, maybe just going over where you are, maybe going over where you aren't, you need to ask yourself this question. Having just a glimpse of Jonah's errors, of where Jonah was and he was stuck, remember this. This was not simply a passive condition in Jonah. Jonah was stuck. The book closes with him being stuck. He never changed from where he was in his mindset. He had a stubborn, stuck, isolated dysfunction in his walk with God. What are you carrying on the inside of you that you know at this moment is impeding what God wants to get done? It is too easy to simply relax and allow what God says to fade into the background behind us and not become weighty enough to make a difference in our lives. You have the unique privilege today of doing something that is a part of the equation of getting you from being stuck like Jonah, so that when the book of your life closes, you are not where Jonah was. Two steps. One, humility. The second step, haste. See, humility is this. God made Jonah, and think about his position. Jonah's position as a prophet was a lofty position in the economy of God. He had the privilege of going in and taking the word to kings and to those who are in authority. He had the privilege and the opportunity of being a spokesman to the nations so that the nations, when they heard him, they feared God and they also feared God's prophet. They feared the man of God. Yet here's the thing about it that makes it so important for Jonah. It's not so much his position that's important. It's the humility that comes with the position. Do you know that you are kings and queens, sons and daughters of the Most High God? That's what you are. Those of you who functionally right now have a relationship with God through redeeming faith in Jesus Christ, God has seated you far above all principality and power and every authority and every rule and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age which is to come. That's who you are, and that's where you are. That's how God sees you. That's how you need to see yourself. But see, in order for that position to become functional and viable, it takes humility, folks. It takes the humbling of yourself. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing who he is, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. Wherefore, as a result of his humility, God also did what? Highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. Humility. See, Jonah missed out on one vital connection. In order to be genuinely effectual and effective, when God calls, your answer must be humility. But not only that, when God calls, your answer must always be haste. When he's moving in an area, when he's beginning to function, when he's carrying forth his word and he's connected you to it, there must be haste. The only place you slow down is when God slows down. And that says this: there's of necessity a keen sensitivity to the progressions of God. Where God is working and how God is working is the way you want to work. And if God is in haste, don't delay to get forward. Humility and haste are critical. I want to ask you today this as we close. Where are you in the whole arena of responding to God's call? When he calls, is there a place in your heart that's all his, or are you shut down and you're irresponsive to his word, indifferent to his will? Where are you? See, there are a lot of people insensitive to where God is working. Where are you? This message is not a message simply to just give you an exposé of Jonah's failures. This word is a message to give you a synopsis in principle and in kind of what got Jonah where he is, stuck and dysfunctional. Where God may say to you, that's where I see you, but you don't have to end up like Jonah, with a book of your life closing on you being self-willed, self-moved, and self-motivated. Invitation is very clear today, very simple. With what you heard, it's time for an eternal evaluation. It's time for an internal evaluation. From God to you, and on the inside of you, about you, ask yourself this question: am I, Ronald Swift, and you call your name, connected to him in such a way that any given moment when he calls my name, I'm ready to respond? Father, thank you. Your message for your people is going forward. There's a mandate on this message. The mandate is very clear, Father. Where am I in relationship to where you are, where you want to go, and where you want to take me? Where am I inwardly? Is there a vital connect, or is there a disconnect that has severed the usefulness of what you want to accomplish in my life? And Father, thank you that today can be a day of reckoning for each person in this room. And my prayer for them, Father, is this: that you would bring them to such an end conclusion in where they are, in what they've thought, in how they've lived, and how they've functioned. Until now, there's a breakthrough, a major breakthrough. The chasm has been broken. And there's now a uniting, a bonding, and a bind with you. Bring about that, Father, as only you can, so that when you call, no longer will be those who are irresponsive, insensitive, and indifferent, but those whose lives can make a difference. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. And maybe you're here with every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're just like Jonah, and maybe you just might be a little worse. God has spoken to your hearts, and you know at this moment you need to address what you've heard. If you have a spirit like Jonah, insensitive, irresponsive, indifferent, and you know it, and you want to address it, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Just slip your hand up right where you are. Nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up. If you've been, I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see those hands. Yes, yes. Thank you. I want to pray with you and have you pray inwardly this prayer. Father, thank you. Today you've called my name, and I've heard my true condition before you. I knew it, and I ran from it, as well as I ran with it. And today, Lord, I bring it to the foot of the cross and ask for that same redeeming work and the power of that redeeming work that severed me from my sins will also now sever me from this condition. And Father, that today you would raise me up to walk in newness of life with old habits and engagements and entanglements crucified and off of me onto the person of Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. And now for me, that newness of resurrection power and reality and certainty now affixed in my function. Father, thank you for that work. And I trust in that work through the redeeming and the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I do pray that those that I have just prayed for will experience that connection, that cleansing, that healing in their lives. And that, Lord, it will be a demonstration so powerful, so changing, so renewing, so cleansing, that those around them who knew where they were and the stuck condition previously that was theirs would see and experience visibly the change that you make in a human life given over to you. Only you can do that. It's my prayer that they would experience the power of that. Maybe you're here now, the second part of our invitation, and you're outside of the fold of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've heard about him, or maybe you haven't heard about him at all. But the gospel message says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You've heard of that, John 3:16. But here's the thing that maybe you've never known, how to establish a relationship with God through faith. The scripture says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son. All of us, including me, at one point in my relationship with God, before I came to know him, God identified me as a sinner. And I finally came to the place of realizing that what God said about me was really true. I had sinned. And I was a sinner, separated from God. But see, the scripture says this, God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ entered into the world into human experience in order to provide for you a connection that none of us could ever give for ourselves. Religion doesn't get it done. But through a relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ provided through his own shed blood and his atoning death on Calvary, the opportunity for you to enter into a relationship with God. And God says, here's how it's done. It's by confession, by embracing Jesus' righteousness. Romans 10:9-10. It says, with a heart a person believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And it goes something like this. Father, thank you for disclosing to me my condition of lostness before you. I now recognize that your Son, Jesus Christ, died in my place, shed his blood on Calvary in order to give me a legitimate relationship with you. And today, I humble myself and with great haste come to the end of myself and say to you, thank you for what your Son did for me. And thank you that, Lord, the assurance that what Jesus Christ did will avail to me both for time and eternity is what happened in the resurrection. You raised him from the dead. And Father, today by faith, I come to Jesus. And the invitation is open. If you desire prayer, the altar is open. If there's something that has severed you between what God wants to accomplish in your life, this altar is open for you to pray. But if you're here and you need to establish a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, the doors of this church are open. We want to share with you more intimately, more intensely, the gospel of Jesus Christ. To my left and to your right, the doors are open. You will be received, and we can share with you in a more personal way how you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this moment. I pray in Jesus' name you would move heaven and earth to accomplish in the lives of those who are here what you want for them today, and that no one today will leave having not addressed at least two critical needs potentially in their lives. One, of removing the stigma of being like Jonah from them and their walk with you and their relating to you today. And two, if they're like those in Nineveh, having never heard and no relationship, today might be that day when they will draw into you and come to know you experientially and functionally. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.